Hello everyone, welcome to Radio Blast, a voice in the end time. It's nice to be with you, dear brethren, again via radio. God bless you, Joseph.
The Lord bless you.
Nice to be with you also.
Amen. It's nice to be here with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Without him, we would be nothing.
We wouldn't be here. We'd be in. It begins with H. Hint.
With H. H.
Hell.
Hell. Surely, don't mistake for heaven.
Amen.
Without Jesus is hell.
It's true.
With Jesus is another H.
But
heaven.
Heaven.
But both H, but like a slight difference.
Big difference.
The one is without air conditioning. Next.
God bless you, Angie.
Hello, everybody. Nice to be here.
I know that we have some very interesting news, right, Angie? That we're going
We actually heard that there are things going on around the world and people are wondering, what's happening? Where are we heading?
This world is never idle. It's always, into trouble. Since, you know, they don't need Jesus, they don't need God, they don't need the Bible, they don't need salvation. Well, you know, hell.
Right. So we heard that in Switzerland there is a movement. There are the Muslims that immigrated there. They are requesting that the Swiss people, they take off the cross from their national flag.
Yeah, can you imagine?
No,
the Muslim immigrant to establish in Switzerland by the Swiss people, they were graciously granted residence.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want the cross taken off from the Swiss flag. He said, they are Muslim, you must understand, you know.
It's amazing how they have the courage and the guts to do such a thing in a country who accepted them as foreigners, though. They're foreigners, they're not Swiss people.
If you go to some Muslim countries, like Arabia, Saudi Arabia, if they catch you read the Bible in a private house, in your private house, they catch you with some friends praying to Jesus, they put you in jail, they torture you, and they can even kill you.
I have a question. Why the Muslims have such a guts to ask such a thing in a country who accepted them, but the Christians, if they go, like you say, to a Muslim country, they do not even dare to even think?
They are afraid to raise a voice for their faith. When the Muslims, they blow themselves up, they kill themselves for their Allah, Muhammad, etc.
But are you generalizing everything, that all the Christians are like that?
No, of course not. Well, I'm a Christian, I hope, and I'm not the only one. There are Christians better than me around.
But Christians are supposed to live a peaceful life, not go and fight with blood and violence and blow themselves up. They're supposed to follow the teaching of Jesus, love your enemy.
So to take away the cross from the flag?
No,
from the flag?
Don't mean that, but I'm saying they shouldn't go and fight in the flesh.
I mean, Switzerland, it's not a perfect country, even though it's one of the best in the world as far as materially, politically, financially, criminal-wise. There is no crime in Switzerland almost. Well, now there is a lot of crime because, some crime, not too much, because of the immigrants. But because they keep their weapons in the houses, you know, according to the military law, so there is no hardly any crime in the house. Because a thief, before going into a house, they think it two times. Because everybody has a machine gun in the house. Mm-hmm. So there's no crime in the house. Nobody steals. It's kind of a life and death situation. Understand?
But you're saying earlier when I asked you the question, why Christians don't go in Muslim countries and do the same, you're saying because they're afraid to stand up. So the Christians should stand up this way?
Well, no, in the Muslim country, they cannot go there and do this because they don't let them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you think something they think is negative about Muhammad, they can kill you in some places. You know, in places like Pakistan, somebody comes to you and says, they have a blasphemy law in Pakistan. And
what is that?
Somebody comes to you and says, I don't believe in Christ, Son of God. What do you think about Muhammad? You have to be very careful how you answer. Because if you say, I don't think Muhammad is a prophet, they can put you in jail and kill you.
Amazing.
You blaspheme Muhammad.
Amazing. They are very zealous.
Yeah, zealant.
Zealant.
Oh, you can say zealous too, I guess. But anyway, you understand.
So going back to Switzerland, you think the Muslims will succeed to take the cross off from the national flag?
I really pray not. In fact, I put a message on YouTube. It's, I think, by...
Yes.
Yeah, about I got a prophecy from Jesus, and he says, Jesus to Switzerland,
yes.
Don't take the cross away from your flag. So prophecy from Jesus. Because Jesus telling them that represents Calvary, represents your salvation, represents you going to heaven. Don't take it away. If you take that away, well, you know, they're going to be in trouble. They deny their faith, at least the ones who agree.
And what is the response of the government?
Well, you say, will they take it away? Well, this we need to prophesy here. I don't know. I hope not.
But what is the response right now?
Right now, the mass opinion, like the masses in Switzerland, they kind of more like for no, but not for religious reason or for Jesus.
Why then?
Because for cultural reason. That's our culture. If we take away the cross, they said, next the Muslim going to ask us to change our constitution, making an Islamic constitution.
They are right.
They are right, true. Of course. You see, the Muslims, they move into these Western countries, all right, and pretending they are starving. Some, of course, are starving for sure, but they come with boats, you know, they go to Sicily, Italy, they're dying. So they come under humanitarian cover. And of course, a lot of them are definitely starving in the country. But once they move in, then they want to take over.
Yeah.
Okay. First they use the democracies. They come under the umbrella of democracy, humanitarian. You know, especially the Catholic churches. Also Protestant churches, they keep saying, oh, we need to help the poor Muslims. They're poor, this and that. But that's a very stupid like statement and attitude, because the Muslims are going to take over. If they complain, they're going to kill them.
But that's only love to receive them,
you know,
no?
Well, in an ideal situation where they come here and behave like Christians, okay. But in a situation that they want to keep worshipping their Allah and their Quran, they know why. What's wrong with Quran? Well, the Quran says it's good to kill your enemies. So they're going to, well, the day is going to come when they disagree with your politics, they're going to come and kill you.
Yeah.
For example, in, where was it? In Denmark. There was a guy that published some cartoons about Mohammed, which they were not offensive, just that they depicted Mohammed in the cartoons. And they threatened to kill him. All the Arab leagues all over the world, like tens of countries, got together and they blasted and offended Denmark. All the Muslim ambassadors in Denmark, they wanted to go have an audience. I think his name was Ramundsen, like the Prime Minister of Denmark. It was a few years ago. He refused to meet. They said, I have nothing to say. This is, I have no authority over the newspapers. And so the Arabs said, we're going to boycott Denmark. We're not going to buy Danish materials from abroad, you know. Only because this guy on a newspaper, he put some cartoons about the story of Mohammed. No offense, just depicted. But in the Muslim countries, okay, if you're a Christian, they kill you.
Yeah.
In the Western country, they don't even want you to say half a word against the religion. The reason they do that is because Christians today are acting like lukewarm, false Christians, most of them. You know, Jesus prophesied in the book of Revelation, Revelation 3, verse 14, of the church of Laodicea, where there was that kind of Christians. Well, lukewarm, Jesus said, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth.
So what do you think they should do, the Christians?
The Christians should follow the gospel, just like the early Christians. The early Christians, they will stand up for the gospel, even if they're meant to be thrown to the lions, to be killed, persecuted, tortured, whatever.
How?
But
how do they stand up?
Well, for example, there are many ways. They can stand up politically, they can stand up religiously, they can manifest in the streets, they can go on strike, they can stop paying taxes. They put them in jail, no problem, put me in jail, but I'm not going to pay the taxes unless you honor our country as a Christian country based on Christianity. Okay, but now the government, they're just paid by the banks, the government, their God is called not Jesus Christ, but Jesus money. So they pretend to be Christians. Even Christian political parties, they're just a bunch of hypocrisy. In Europe, the second political party are the Christian Democrats, but they just, it's a false thing, you know, there is zero Christianity. So anyway, like country like, for example, Spain, there was, I think it was Atletico Barcelona football team, they had to go play in Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia said, well, we are Muslim, we don't like your cross. I said, no problem, we take it away. So they took the cross away from the football team.
Wow.
Denmark had to go play in Saudi Arabia. And so they said, if you don't mind, they take the cross away.
Wow.
If you want to enter Arabia.
They took the
cross away from the Danish flag, no football team flag. So
just temporarily, you mean?
Well, just to go into Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, yeah.
And now in Switzerland, they're asking.
They compromise.
In Switzerland, the Muslims were asking, they take it away completely.
Yeah.
Because Switzerland, the cross was okay when it was a Christian country. Now it's the Muslim here. And now we have residents, so it's a multicultural. So you should take it away. You need to be in step with the times. That's like old fashioned. And the Swiss are discussing about it. Should we or shouldn't we? The majority says, like, no.
Wow.
But the fact they're discussing, man, I should be offended. I would say, excuse me, that's the door. Can you please go back to your country where you came from? And when you come back as a Christian. You expect me to go to most of your country as a Muslim. I cannot build a church. I cannot read the Bible. You will torture me. You will take my children away. You put me in jail. You're throwing bones in my churches. And now you come in my country. You want me to change the flag? Christians not willing to stand up for Jesus, preach the gospel, and die if necessary, is not a Christian. False Christians.
Yeah.
Christian does not find a way to evangelize and not just sing songs. Jesus didn't say go and build churches and sing songs. They go preach the gospel to the lost. Preach the gospel to the lost. Preach the gospel to the lost.
Amen. Lord, help
not
us.
To the people who have money Sunday morning, give you money, Mr. Pastor. Thank God for the good pastors who preach the gospel, the true gospel. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what's happening in Switzerland and other places.
You know, we also heard in England some news that they are offering medication to 9-year-old children to change their sex.
Yes, yeah, that wasn't the news.
And well, that was shocking. I mean, children.
Yes, they're telling their parents, if you have a boy who prefers to play with a boy instead of a girl, then you should give this medicine so that that will stop his sexual growth.
Amazing.
So that will be perfectly ready to change sex whenever he wants.
That's demonic.
But did you ask the 9-year-old what he thinks?
What does it mean, play? I mean, obviously a boy will play with a boy.
A boy could even have almost sexual tendency. A girl could even have, a 9-year-old could even have lesbian tendencies. But what does that mean? That doesn't mean that when she's older, she will remain a lesbian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, they don't take in consideration the faith and the miracle of God that a lot of homosexual, they become... normal for us Christian, abnormal for the homosexuals. It depends on the point of view. You know, it's like for the devil, if you don't go around killing, you're abnormal. For God, if you go around killing serial killer, you're bad. For the devil, if you're a serial killer, you're good. It depends on the point of view, okay? So that's what's happening. So that's another sign of the times.
Yeah.
Okay, and soon they're going to put police on these things. You know, the Antichrist is going to put the police, going to check in your child. Oh, your child, let me check. The social worker, come here. Your child has to stay here for a few days. The social worker. The social worker makes a report. He's a boy who likes boys. And then that's it. For the sake of freedom, you have to let him free. In fact, he has some medicines to help him. So they're encouraging everything that is evil. Discourage everything that is good. You understand?
Yeah.
We also heard another news from the U.S. this time about the U.S. economy, that Obama asked his former Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, to mislead the American people and to lie to them, actually, concerning the state of the American economy.
See, this
it's unbelievable to hear such
incredible.
A thing.
This is big news. There are videos on the net that you can watch. It's a testament from Geithner himself.
Oh, wow. He confessed it.
You know, he said it.
He wrote a book.
Wow.
And it's in the print now. Before even it's been distributed, everybody's talking about it. He's testifying. Okay, apparently this guy is an honest guy. You know, it's a puppet. They didn't want to play the puppet part. That's why he got changed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they replaced him with another puppet,
a
more jumping puppet, okay? So Obama, of course, is a puppet of the banks. And this guy was a puppet of Obama. Obama told him, it wasn't his idea, it was the banks told him, of course.
Yeah.
But through Obama, he told this guy when he was the chief of the finance in his government to lie to the American people about the state of the American economy. In other words...
To lie in what sense?
To tell lies, like the economy is doing good or it was doing bad.
Wow.
To deceive, basically.
To deceive, you know, because the government gave like trillions and trillions of dollars to the banks because they were too big to fail. So the poor slaves, the taxpayer, they had to pay for the banks. If the banks have been blood-sucking them forever. The bank, they just suck all the blood they could have from the people. And when the bank failed, they didn't fail casually. They failed because the bank stole all the emergency reserve they were supposed to keep. So because the banks are owned by mafia, see, they don't see mafia in the streets in America hardly. They're all at the government, right? They're all at the banks.
Yeah.
So now they've been stolen all the money from the people because they've been receiving the money, but they didn't keep it. They just gave it away for interest. They've been hiding it in fiscal paradises. So the banks are completely empty. The coffers are empty.
Wow.
So they declare bankruptcy. And instead of the government say, okay, you guys have been stealing until now. Well, let's put it politely, you've been gaining until now for the last 50, 100 years. Okay, so can you please go sell your house, sell your yacht, sell your private island, sell your private golf course, sell where all the tons of gold you have here and there, and pay back your debt. No, what did they do? They got the American people, the poor little taxpayer, who were already bankrupt, who were already in debt, to pay for the banks. And the banks got trillions. Okay.
What a world we live in.
Yeah, like, it's like they interviewed the treasury, the general treasurer of the state, Bernanke. It's a difficult name. And they said, we heard that you gave, get the number straight. You gave $23 trillion to foreign banks.
Wow.
You know how much that is? The total American debt, right now is about $17 trillion.
Oh, yeah.
It's been piling up, just to give you an idea how much the money is. Mm-hmm. And just the American GDP total in one yearly, it's about, I think it's $8-9 trillion 1 year, the whole America. The dear banks gave $23 trillion to banks offshore out of America. So they interviewed him at the parliament, and they asked him, what did you give? There are documents. You can see there are videos around. The guy testifying. And they asked him, the parliament, they asked him, what did you give this money to? Say, oh, well, cannot say. Say, what do you mean you cannot say? That's American people money. Yeah, but the banks are independent. We don't have to respond to you.
Oh.
Yeah, the guy said, yeah, but the money is not yours. It's Americans. Well, but we're still independent.
Amazing.
You understand what's going on? I mean, Al Capone is like a humanitarian worker compared to these guys.
It's true.
I mean, he's almost a missionary compared to these sharks, to these demon-possessed, to these bloodsuckers. You know, Vampire the Dracula, he was almost a good guy compared to these leeches.
I can tell you're not advertising
but,
it.
But the thing is that, well, I'm not in America, and I don't want to go. If they paid me to go, I wouldn't go. So I have a little bit more freedom, okay? So
to speak the truth.
It's like, listen, these guys it's amazing. And the media, you know, the CNN, all those guys, all this big media, you go watch it, they say, okay, they discuss like these things are normal. The media is just, they have these very smart guys, okay, very smart guys, that they're just pretending to have debates on TV, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the story, the flows always goes the way of the banks, the way of the rich guys. They have the bank system has two pockets. On one pocket they have the politician, the other pocket are the media. Okay? And they are these guys are like monsters in the dark who are leading the show. Fine.
I heard that
you have enough, they need to blast a little bit more.
Well, I want to tell you something about the Americans. I heard that they are building some kind of killer robots that they want to use in wars, and now they are debating in UN if they should allow it or forbid it.
No, no, the UN, yeah, they really don't want the thing. See, the Americans, first they build these drones, planes, they go around, they send them like to Pakistan or where, Yemen or wherever they want.
Without pilot.
Without pilot, and there is a guy sitting in at the Pentagon in the United States. You know, he's there with his Coca-Cola bottle, air conditioning, with, you know, like a video games.
Wow!
And then he only sees what the video camera from the plane sees, not much. And so he sees whatever he thinks. Okay, he shoots some missiles and blows up people.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a scandal for years after years after years in Pakistan, the Pakistani people, and that's why they just. They're kicking them out of Pakistan because America just they lost all wisdom since they don't have Christ. And so they were seeing there was a group of people that were shooting in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so this plane, you know, it's like patrolling. You know, the sheriff takes a walk at night.
But what did they have to do there? I mean, why did they go patrolling
there? Wait, let me finish. So they were patrolling, and for example, just one of the main examples, there was a group of some 100 people that were shooting in the air with little guns. And so his planes arise, and he see this guy shooting in the air. So, I don't like that. Oh. So he sent the missiles, and he killed some, I think, 80 out of 100
wow.
or so. And it was just a marriage.
Oh.
Because they have a tradition in Pakistan that they shoot in the sky. You know, like, for example, there are countries when there is a New Year's Eve, the New Year's, they shoot in the air. And it's a stupid tradition.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the tradition, right?
Like a celebration.
Oh. In America, they don't shoot in the air, they shoot to you. So it depends the country where you go, tradition you find. Okay, you go to the school, because now they're stopping students. They used to come with machine guns in the schools.
Boy.
You can imagine this, what a hell of a pit the schools have become.
Yeah.
What are they learning there? So in this time, and now they're kicking them all out. And America got kicked out of Iraq, kicked out of Afghanistan.
Well, what were
because,
they doing?
Because they lost the blessing of God. They don't have Christ. They don't want Christ. There is no way America can know what's right and wrong.
Mm-hmm. What were they doing in Pakistan with these drones?
Well, you know, in Pakistan, they went there for Bin Laden and all this kind of stuff.
Ah, okay. That was the official...
That was the excuse.
Excuse.
Bin Laden has been long gone. And they're still there.
They're
looking. Who were they looking for?
What? And the killer robots, UN will allow it or not?
The killer robots, like I was saying, first they started with the drones, and we know the results. And this time now in Pakistan, they hardly use them anymore because the people are freaked out about this. The drones are plane robots,
mm-hmm.
flying robots, like planes. Now they built some robots, actually robots, you know, like, they look like men, you know, two legs, two hands, a head.
Wow, amazing.
And they have a computer on their head. And they have these eyes, video cameras, they can see as far as they want. They have a kind of sensor, they have radars, and they have guns. They can send missiles, they can shoot whatever they want, machine gun, bazooka, whatever. There are all kinds of weapons you can put on.
And the UN is in favor or not of it?
No, like a lot of people are against the UN because they say, they saying you cannot give to a machine the discernment to kill
a
human.
Of course.
So this machine would have a program in itself, okay, that can decide who to kill or not to kill.
That's terrible.
You know, they could be babies, it could be pregnant mothers, could be a hospital, could be old people.
And if it has a malfunction?
then? That's what I mean. It's just like using a computer, all of a sudden it freezes.
Exactly.
So they imagine the robot is shooting and it freezes on shooting and keeps shooting.
Yeah.
No, it's like it's...
demonic.
So America has become a demonic place. That's why we really counsel your brethren, get out as soon as you can.
Amen.
Because America is Babylon. It used to be a Christian country. It used to be the best country, yes. It used to be democratic. Now it's democratic, okay? And now it's demon bureaucratic. It used to be democratic.
Amazing.
And it wasn't good before, but it was acceptable. They would allow missionary to operate. Now they don't want mission. They don't want Christianity anymore to operate. They want Islam. The reason they want that is because Islam is the perfect anti-Christianity. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
And the same in Europe. They're letting the Islamic in so they can fight the Christians because they want to change the Christian Europe into atheistic Europe. They cannot do it directly, so they're going to do it through the Islamics.
Mm-hmm.
Pretending to give equality to the Islamic, they're going to do away with Christianity. And when they do away with Christianity, also the Islamic puppets are going to be put down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the microchip comes, the mark of the beast comes. You understand?
Very interesting, this point of view, mm-hmm. why Islam is taking over.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, in this sense, so the Islamics are being brought in under the excuse of humanitarian cover. But when they are in, they're going to use them to change the laws, to bring a multicultural society, mm-hmm. so bring a little bit of Islam, this and that.
Which is what's happening in Switzerland, like you said.
Which is what's happened already, just about everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
in Denmark, there was just, you know, the guy was telling before he was making the cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, the guy had to go into hiding because somebody put a fatwa, like they put like a price. Anybody who kills them gets
a reward.
We get a reward. There was some Islamic religious leaders in Pakistan. They put a fatwa on this guy that made the cartoons, and say anybody that meets him, you should kill in the name of Allah, and you go to heaven. Mm. You will get your virgins, your harems of virgin, rivers
yeah,
of wine.
Right.
Because you killed the enemy of Muhammad.
Amazing.
So this guy had to go into hiding. After this, there was a newspaper made a research. They made a poll investigation. Say, are our cartoonists scared of this? So they investigated all over Denmark who was willing to make a cartoon. Without offense, just a cartoon. And nobody of the cartoonists wanted to make a cartoon.
Amazing.
In other words, intimidation has entered into Europe, and now it's like Europe, they're afraid. Of course, the leftists, the communists, or the socialists, now the communists are called socialists, the socialists are encouraging the Muslims to come in because the Muslims always vote for the socialists. So the socialists are encouraging them to come in because, you know, for a humanitarian reason, you must understand.
Amazing. Understand?
Yeah. What a trap. Okay, and then the Christ is going to use them very easily, you know, to bring his atheistic society in Europe, and then the rest we know.
Yes.
They're going to attack Israel, followed by the Muslim, etc. I've taught that in other times.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Continuing with world news from Britain this time, UKIP party, which is against the European Union, makes big gains on British elections, pushing Britain further away from Europe. What do you have to say about this?
Yeah, that's it. In fact, I was kind of shocked, in a way, like to see these results.
What does it have to do from the Bible point of view, this news?
Well, it's very prophetic because, Britain is like Tarshish, you know. What's
Tarshish?
Tarshish, well, that's Cyprus in the prophecies.
I don't understand.
But it's a name which is used in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 11 that the ship of Tarshish will fight against the Antichrist.
What does that have to do with England?
Well, Tarshish is like England.
Why?
Because, well, in Tarshish, Cyprus today, there is a huge British Navy base.
Ah, okay.
So it seems like the perfect place for Britain to move against the Antichrist. It's prophesied in Daniel 11 that the ships of Tarshish will stop the Antichrist in one battle. In one battle.
You're saying that Britain will move to Cyprus?
No, it's already there. They already have a big Navy base.
Yeah, but we'll move there from there to fight with Antichrist.
No, they won't move there. They will just use the ships which they have there to stop the Antichrist. You see, in the prophecy of the end time, we see that America and Israel will fight against the King of the North, Daniel 11.
Well, who's the King of the North?
King of the North is the Antichrist, very clear in Daniel 11. He fights against the King of the South.
And the King of the South
That's Israel. It's a long story. I don't have time to get into it now. I already explained this
in
other teachings. So Daniel 11 gives the scenario of the end time war games. King of the South, America and Israel, King of the North, Antichrist, Russia, which eventually Europe will join.
Okay.
The ten horns of the Roman beast in Daniel chapter 7. All right. So it will also be followed by the Muslim, it says in the prophecy of Ezekiel 38. And so, I always thought that this Tarshish, it wasn't just the USA stopping the Antichrist, but possibly, probably, easily, Britain would have joined.
Joined the USA.
The America, yes. Mm-hmm. Because here they speak the same language, American and Britain, and they kind of, they have a lot in common, like America got the culture of England.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like America today, the world power number one took the place of the world power of yesterday, which was Britain. So like America today, it's a continuation of Britain. So in fact, you see, in every war, Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever, England is always on the side of America.
It's true. They always go together.
See, so it always came to me that these guys are going to be together also against the Antichrist.
Hmm. And you're saying this because of Tarshish, because England has navy base there.
There is a navy base there, yes.
And in the prophecy, Tarshish is against the Antichrist.
It's against the Antichrist.
And why did you say Israel, and in the same time now you say America is against
the Antichrist? Yeah, because the Antichrist will invade Israel, will take over Israel. The Muslim will conquer Israel briefly toward the end time. But they cannot do that without the support of the Antichrist, of Russia, and Europe.
And what does Israel and America have to do together against the Antichrist?
Yeah, because for a long time, there are like some five wars, which the King of the South, Israel, will fight against the King of the North, Antichrist. And Israel cannot stand up against all these blocs, China, Russia, Europe, Muslims, unless there is the help of America. Now, America is already on the side of Israel.
Okay, because so Israel and America together.
Because the Jews control the media in America, Hollywood.
Yes.
They control the American media. By controlling American media, and they also control the banks. The Jews control the banks. The richest guy control the banks are Jews. Zionists, precisely. And they, by controlling the banks, they've been buying off most of the politicians. They bought Hollywood, they bought every big media outlet in the United States. It belongs to the banks, to the corporations. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Jews, basically, they, in a way, to an extent, they run America. Mm-hmm. So wherever Israel goes, America follows. So in a way, the capital of America is Jerusalem, in a way.
Wow.
Tel Aviv, you know, not completely, because you see, like this Obama is a puppet of the banks, etc., the corporation. He kind of, there is some discrepancies, arguments, but at the end of the story, whatever. If there is a war, America will always stand for Israel. Understand?
Mm-hmm. So this news that this party won the British election is pushing it further away from Europe?
Exactly.
Exactly. In a nutshell, what does it mean concerning all these wars?
It means that Britain is moving away from the European bloc and moving closer to the Americans.
In other words, moving from the Antichrist bloc.
Yes, exactly. Moving away from Europe, which we know is going to be the Antichrist bloc. Okay. And it will join America.
And that fulfills the prophecies.
And that will make kind of a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will be like Australia, America, Canada, and Britain against Russia, China, Muslim, and Europe. It makes kind of a balance, 50-50 power in the world.
But then it's actually very prophetic, this news.
It's very prophetic,
it's
because
it fulfills the Bible.
This party, UKIP, I've heard this guy, this leader is going to the European Parliament. The guy is insulting everybody. You guys are a bunch
of... So he's against Europe?
Definitely. So you say you guys are a bunch of crooks, you guys are a bunch of criminals, you don't let people vote. He's saying a lot of things which are good. Of course, he's also accused of being a racist, because he doesn't want the Muslim to move into England, which I agree with that. The Muslims should stay in their country. If they come as Christian, come. But if you come to change Christianity, you should stay where you are.
It's true. Amen. Very interesting.
Just super. Like if we go to a Muslim country, if we go there and say, hey, we don't like the king in this country, we don't like the constitution in this country, should change everything around, I should stay in my country. I can go to the Islamic country politely.
Respectfully, yes.
Yeah, I am a guest
yes.
in the Islamic country. If they let me read the Bible, I'm very grateful. They don't let me in most of them. Okay.
Yes, I would like to ask you something about Russia, since we are going around the world now. But after a musical break, because we received a question from a dear brother worried about what's going on with Russia, started to threaten Romania. So after the song, I would like to ask you this.
You change.
Welcome back to Radio Blast, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us today at www.radioblast.net. We are talking about world news, events that are happening, which seem to be fulfilling the Bible prophecies and are getting us closer and closer to the end time. Brother Joseph, a dear brother, wrote to us saying that after the latest events in Ukraine, the Russian Vice Prime Minister, Dmitry Rogozin, was rejected from flying over Romania and also over Ukraine. He was intercepted by Ukrainian Air Force. Now, previously, Romania gave permission for him to fly over, but on his way back to Russia, because USA requested it, Romania denied his entrance in the Romanian airspace. The Vice Prime Minister, he got offended, and he threatened that next time he will use Tupolev 160 to fly over Romania, but that is the biggest atomic bomber that Russia has. So he was basically threatening that he will bombard Romania.
Yeah. Yeah, however, he was just, he was offended. Yes. And he was just, overreacting in a way.
You mean it won't happen?
Of course not. No. No, the guy, see what happened, this guy was going to Bulgaria to have a meeting with the Bulgarians, mm-hmm. the Russian Prime Minister. The Prime Minister is Medvedev, okay?
Yeah.
Putin is the President.
Yes.
The authorities and the President. Next come the Prime Minister, and next come the third in rank is
the Vice Prime Minister.
It's this guy, Dmitry Rogozin. Mm-hmm. So he flew to Bulgaria, and the authorities were caught by surprise in Romania, and they said, sure, get through. But then, after double-checking with the CIA and America, etc., they realized that this guy, it was the Vice Prime Minister, Dmitry Rogozin, they realized that he was on the blacklist.
Why blacklist?
Okay. Well, when Russia invaded Crimea, as a retaliation, the Americans and the Europeans gave some sanction, mostly America. And sanction that they froze some financial assets of the closest people to Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not Putin himself, because they didn't have the authority to do that. He's the head of a state. That would be like declaring war. But they gave a blacklist and said, okay, I think it was just six people or so, that they got the financial assets frozen in America.
That they had in America.
Yeah, in America or in Europe. And but anyway, Germany has been kind of slowing down. The America, they wanted to fire and brimstone. Hmm. And the Germans said, no. So the Germans have been slowing them down. Germany has a lot of financial business going on with Russia. And if they implement the sanction that America wants, actually Germany would have hundreds of thousands of loss of jobs, including the the German economy would lose 2% on the growth. So it's like the Germans are not enthusiastic at all. Yeah. It's easier for America to yell and scream. They have like the whole Atlantic in between. But Germany is bordering right there, and they're not very excited to play games with somebody like Russia, which is way more powerful militarily.
So you were saying that Dmitry Rogozin is on the blacklist, and that's why Romania denied access.
Exactly. So he was not allowed to...
On the blacklist from what sense?
Blacklist in the sense that his financial assets were frozen, and also he couldn't travel around in the European and American area.
Okay.
So he was trying to fly over Romania. Romania is part of the European Community. Mm-hmm. So they were caught by surprise, and so they said, sure, you can get through. But on the way back, he asked again. In the meanwhile, Romanian authorities consulted with the CIA, with the whatever, American, and they said, no, you cannot cross. And so the Rogozin, he told, he radioed to the tower, to the Romanian authorities, said, next time I'm going to fly over with a Tu-160. Now, the Tu-160 is a Tupolev 160, is the biggest plane, supersonic, stratospheric bomber Russian has. Okay,
quite and a threat.
There is only one plane that matches with it. Is an American plane.
But do you think this threat was just for Romania, or it had more implications?
This was just a baloney. A guy got upset. Okay,
just for Romania.
The guy just like telling him off.
He wasn't threatening Europe or anything.
No, just Romania. But they are not threatening him. They're not threatening anybody.
They're saying that in Moldavia, lots of young men on reserve were called to incorporate in the army.
Yeah, but not because of this, but because the American propaganda is making a lot of propaganda that Russia wants to take over everything here, which is not the case.
In other words, including Romania.
No, they don't want to take over Romania. They can't, because Romania don't want to go under Russia.
Yeah, yeah. No.
You have to understand the propaganda, how it works. If you study the story of Hitler... Okay, and Goebbels, the minister of propaganda of the Nazi propaganda, you see how it works. Like the people, it's like your brain in front of a TV is like a boiled broccoli.
Why?
Like whatever, you can boil anywhere the TV wants. You believe whatever a guy with a tie and good speaking from a Harvard University will tell you. You got those cute lady miniskirts, high heels, speaking a perfect English, and a guy there with a tie, perfect suit, magnetizing eyes, a guy who just the top of the top. And you're there eating your hamburger, you will believe whatever the guy said because it makes sense. These guys are smart. I mean, Goebbels, Hitler, minister of propaganda, I tell you, when he spoke smart. And Hitler, too. Hitler said, when you tell a lie, make sure it's as big as you can because nobody would think you dare say such a thing.
Amazing.
That's what Hitler said. So the Americans probably learned the lessons.
Yeah.
Okay, so the media, they will tell you whatever the corporations and the big money boys decide.
Yeah.
And they put it in such a way. They dress it up like a perfect girl, a perfect guy. They speak wonderfully, and everything is perfect. You'll believe them. How can you think they're so crook? But they are more than that. They're demon-possessed, some of these guys.
So Romanians basically don't have anything to worry about.
Now, the guy who MC the TV program, they're just doing their job for a salary. So, but some of them, others behind them, they're really the power that manipulates.
So Romanians have nothing to fear about?
No, absolutely not. No. This is just nothing.
Well, maybe for now, but Romania is always backing up America, so...
Well, at the end of the story, I would say, I don't know when, it's a matter of years, there will be conflagrations because Romania was silly enough to receive the Americans' atomic missiles.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and Russia didn't like it very much.
I was in Romania, and we were in Romania, and we know that in Constanza, like in the eastern part of Romania, on the Black Sea, it's full of American atomic missiles. But Romania is specialized in switching sides. Wherever the wind blows,
just, it's true.
You know, just like Italy, just like wherever the money is, this country they go. I mean, Italy started to fight with Italy against America and ended up against Italy for America. So it's like Romania started the war together with Hitler, and then ended up against Hitler. you know, started the war against the communists, ended up in favor of the communists because they got taken over. So it's like they go where the wind is. Whoever offers the biggest hamburger, they'll go. So it seems like the poor Romania, they think that America is bankrupt. America is gone. It's finished.
It's not what it used to be.
It's a deja vu. It's finished. It's gone. It's dead. It's buried. The only thing left, they just have weapons. That's all.
Thank you, Lord. It's been very, very interesting and revealing to go through the news and see them from a Bible perspective. That is very interesting, and it's something I always look forward to while we have these discussions with you, Joseph. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
It's very nice, and it's nice to stick to the Bible.
Yeah, if you don't understand the Bible, you don't know what's going on. Like, people are shocked that you mean Europe is going to join the Antichrist. Yes, they will. You mean Russia? The Russia and Europe will join the Antichrist. Why? It's prophesied.
Yeah.
But Europe is friends of America, of course. But before being friends of America, Europe is friends of money, interest,
yes,
selfishness,
exactly, yeah,
greed, power.
That's true.
Greater friends than America. So
true.
Wherever the power is, you see in Daniel 11, it says Antichrist will, king of the north, Antichrist will divide the land for gain. Okay, 1968, the Club of Rome, the big corporation, they got together there, they divided the world in 10 lies. Hmm. 10 lies. Daniel chapter 7, the fourth beast, Rome has 10 horns, 10 nations. The world is already assigned to 10 nations, 10 European nations. They will follow the Antichrist. How do I know all these things? It's prophesied. Some people write to me and say, "Bob, Brother Joseph, I read the newspaper. It doesn't look like the way you're saying." Don't worry about the newspaper. Eyes on the Bible.
Amen.
You know, eyes on the Bible.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you, Joseph.
Praise God.
We have another question from a sister, a dear sister that wrote to us recently. I would like to read you all her email because it's very deep, her question.
Okay.
Hi. I am somewhat new to living the life I'm trying to, as I have changed a lot of my ways. I've begged for forgiveness. Why don't I feel relieved? I have turned away from my old life to the best of my ability. Why do I still feel like I've not repented enough? I feel angry at myself for falling away. I once used to be a Mormon, but we never, and she writes it with capital letters, we never studied the Bible. Please help me understand what I should do. Is the devil making me feel this way as I am not worthy of God's love? I feel I made some really bad choices when I fell away from Christ. But he's been calling me back for the past 5 years. I'm learning the Bible on my own, reading it. If you can please pray for my family and this confusion I carry. I just want to be forgiven and live my life for God as much as I can. Thank you. Very precious sister, and a deep, deep message she sent.
Amen. Sister, we pray for you. God bless you.
Amen.
Brother Joseph, any message you have from the Lord for this
dear
sister?
Well, let's start from the beginning. She's saying,
I begged for forgiveness. Why don't I feel relieved? She's asking the first question.
Well, you don't feel relieved because you lack a relationship with Jesus. That's
how can she have that?
She needs to get on her knees and give her heart to Jesus. She's saved. I'm not questioning that. But it's like a lack of relationship with Jesus. It's like it makes you feel separated from God, and then the devil moves in and tells you you don't have salvation, you lost salvation, you are unworthy of God. See, relationship with Jesus is going to solve all that.
So you mean
how
somebody
do you
can
have a relationship? Because I see the sister is seeking the Lord. She's studying the Bible. She's really crying out to God. How do you get the relationship, the right one?
Okay, first of all, you need to get out of these religions. Okay, religions they have a common denominator. They're all bad. See, religions are a creation of man. We need to go to the creation of God, which is Jesus Christ. And it's, until now, she's been having a relationship with the religion. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And she will die like that if she doesn't change. In other words, she's saved. She's going to heaven. Only religion didn't tell her. Religion told her that she needs to be good, this and that. I mean, very clearly, she spelled it out. It spelled out, I once was a Mormon.
Yes.
Like saying, that's my problem. And then he says, she didn't study the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the seeds of this religion is works, self-righteousness, works of our own righteousness, and not God's righteousness, which is Christ.
You mean the seeds of Mormonism, its works?
Its works. It's like Jehovah's Witness, a lot of other religions.
But they believe in works.
Catholics, a lot of Protestants.
But isn't it good to have works for Christ?
See, the Protestants sometimes spaced out too much on grace. That's exaggerated. They have to do nothing. Well, guess what? If you are saved, you better work for Jesus now. You're not saved by works, but boy, if you don't have works in Christ, you don't even have Christ.
That's my point. You need works.
Exactly.
So?
But
well,
the thing
is
that, look, a coincidence. Just last night, I was walking, taking some fresh air. I was stopped by a couple of Mormons on bicycles. They're going around door to door, evangelizing. Yeah.
Again, you were stopped.
Yeah, the second guy, this guy stopped me.
And did they evangelize you, or did you evangelize them?
Well, they, of course, they started with evangelizing me, but I ended up evangelizing them for 40 minutes. And they, just the young guys, they heard things that they never heard before, and they just listened to the whole time. Then I wrote down all the references, said, look, here it is, study them, and they give a bunch of scriptures.
That's nice.
But you just try to encourage them, you know, they're sweet, sincere people.
You are saying that one of the problems that the sister has is because she's been in a works religion.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't understand the difference, because you're saying works are important, in the same time you're saying they're not. Can you clearly explain?
Yeah, the works are important, but you don't get saved by works. Like the scripture I was giving to these Mormons, which are kind of shocked. I said, because they have this doctrine, they say salvation is by grace, mm-hmm, comma, and by keeping the law, the commandments of Christ. And I said, wrong. We have to keep the commandments of Christ, yes, but that's not why we get saved. Because Jesus came to save us because we were not keeping the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ comes so we can keep the commandments. But keeping the commandments doesn't give us salvation. I went to Ephesians 2:8-9, said, look, not by works, by grace. And they were shocked. They never explained the scripture to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the sister needs to study. So she receives seeds of a religion of work and not grace. All right? So she has no foundation in God's real liberating words of love and grace. She doesn't understand about love and grace.
And how do you get that?
You get that by, first of all, forsaking your old religions. Because religion sows seeds in your heart,
mm-hmm,
which they go in your mind, or in your mind, which go in your heart. And eventually these seeds grow into doubts. Because the moment you think you are saved by you have to keep the commandments, etc., you will never keep the commandments. Like Peter told in Acts 15, Peter and James, they told the Pharisees, the Christian Pharisees, he told them, why do you want to put on the Gentile a yoke which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can keep the commandments, not of Christ and not of Moses.
So then at this point we might as well not do anything if we cannot even keep the commandments of Christ.
Nobody can keep the law.
But you said even of Christ.
You cannot keep the law of Christ. You can try, but it's not they can. If you look at the woman the wrong way, it's adultery.
So then?
And so ask any man if they haven't made that mistake after they're saved.
So then what's the hope?
The hope is that as long as you try. Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you're angry with a brother, you are in danger of hellfire. Goodness, you never got angry with somebody?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying as long as we live, we will sin.
Exactly.
So then?
Look, give you a scripture. Look, 1 John 1, verse 8 and 10.
1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
So tell me, these guys were keeping the commandments of Christ.
Well, they were sinning.
Of course. But what's the solution? Verse 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So, of course, we should try to keep the commandments of Christ. Of course, also to have a better life. Of course, mm-hmm, you should try to keep the commandment, but you're not going to make it.
So every time you fall, you confess it and you're clean again.
Yeah, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Automatically, always when you sin, the Holy Spirit leads you to repentance. You're always forgiven.
So this sister basically has to start having the faith that she's forgiven.
Exactly.
According to the word you just gave her, this 1 John 1:9.
Yes, exactly. It's like there is no, look, why don't you go to 2 Corinthians 5:21.
2 Corinthians 5:21.
This is a good scripture for you, sister.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Understand? Now, sister, you are the righteousness of God.
In him, meaning in Christ.
In Christ. When you receive Jesus, you become the righteousness of God.
Wow.
Now, you will still sin, but you're always forgiven, as long as you try to love Jesus. In fact, you have no... Of course you'll try to love Jesus. If you're saved, the Spirit of Christ will lead you to Christ.
Yes.
Of course you can decide to disobey. Okay, you lose your crown. You can decide to become a dead religious or a sleepy religious, but salvation you don't lose.
Yeah, understand? Because that doesn't depend on you. It's something Jesus gave.
Yeah, look, if you go to John 10:28,
okay.
You want to get a scripture too?
Yes.
I go to 1 John 5.
John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Also, 1 John 5, we can go there too. So he says, I give eternal life, you read?
Yes.
And nobody shall take them out of my hands. In other words, the salvation does not depend on you keeping the law,
mm-hmm.
the law of Christ.
But it depends on you repenting every time?
The Holy Spirit will take care of that.
So you must have the Holy Spirit.
Of course. Well, okay, but it's like even Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the same person. There are two different events. First, you receive salvation, Jesus. Then you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must do that. But even if you just have Jesus, always Jesus will lead you to repentance. Otherwise, you're going to lose salvation 10 times a day.
It's true.
Which is what some churches believe. Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have chapter 11, 25, and 26. What do you have, 1 John?
1 John 5. You
okay, 1 John 5, verse 11 till 13. Okay. This scripture to show you that Jesus never forsakes you. It's only this religion that tells you that every time you sin, Jesus forsakes you. That's ridiculous.
Hmm.
I mean, even my wife doesn't forsake me every time I sin.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Thank
God. You want to say Jesus has less love than she does?
Amen. Hmm. Amen.
So, 1 John 5, 11.
11 through 13. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life.
It doesn't say that keeps the commandment. Understand?
It's true. It says the Son.
If you keep the commandments, that shows you have the Son. But it's not that the commandments give you salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if a rose as a flower, as
a bush,
okay, as a rose. It's not the rose that produces the plant. It's the plant that produces the rose.
Yes,
it's the salvation that produces the works.
Oh,
it's
wow.
not the works that produce salvation. The rose does not produce the plant. Impossible. You can
yes.
put a rose wherever you want. A plant is not going to come up. Well, unless you put the seeds. I'll talk about the rose now, the flower, not
yeah,
the seeds.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you
verse
finish?
13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
That's it. So belief. Belief is what gives you salvation. You believe in Jesus? Do you truly believe? Did you truly believe? Then you receive Jesus.
Amen.
When you receive Jesus, he doesn't leave you. John 10:28, it says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Nobody shall take them out of my hands. John 10:28. Do you have John 11:25 and 26? Eh?
I can go there. John 11, 25.
25 and 26.
26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Okay, see, the Mormons and many other religions, okay, they believe, even the Protestants, they used to blast the Catholic who gets saved by works, and the Protestants become just as bad, most of them. Why? They believe you can lose salvation.
Yeah.
The moment you lose salvation, why supposedly you lost it? Because of your works.
Yeah.
You did some bad work.
Yeah.
All right? And so how do you get it back? Good works.
Yeah. So you end up in the region of works.
Some churches, they rebaptize you with maybe better water. They change the mineral water, rebaptize you again. Okay,
true.
That's ridiculous.
That's true.
No. Jesus never leaves you, nor forsakes you.
It's like, I don't know what it is, but Paul said at a certain time that you started by faith, by grace, and then you ended up in works.
Yes, to the Galatians. To the Galatians. Now, the thing is that if you go saved the first time by grace, you want to tell me that you lost it, and now you have to get saved by works? It doesn't make sense.
It's true.
It's not even in the Bible. It's totally opposite. Ephesians 2:9 says, by grace, through faith, not by works. I mean, this morning last night we were shocked that not by works. You see, I said the commandment, keep the commandment of Christ. Of course, if you're saved, you will keep the commandments, or at least you try to. But that's not why you get saved. Understand?
Amen.
So if you're a wife, of course you're going to cook some bacon and egg for your husband. Some nice spaghetti, of course.
Amen.
But that's not why he marries you, if he's a good husband.
Amen.
You might not even be a cook. I know a situation the husband is a cook.
Yes,
that's true.
So
yes.
If you're a good wife, you cook or try to. Hopefully don't poison the guy. But well, that's not why the guy marries you in the first place. Hey, you would like to marry me. Oh, why? Because I need a cook. I'm sorry. You understand?
Yes. We will take another break for a beautiful song, and then we will continue our live program.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day, and I don't borrow from the sunshine, 'cause the skies might turn to gray, and I don't worry about the future, 'cause I know what Jesus said, and today I'm gonna walk right beside him, 'cause he's the one. It's always shining.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Radio Blast. We are here with Dora and Brother Joseph.
You know, she's asking something very deep. She says, is the devil making me feel this way, as I'm not worthy of God's love?
Well, yeah, definitely.
So it's just the devil, condemning her.
Yeah, but also these religions. Mm-hmm. Some religions are as bad as the devil almost. You know, they really, you know, it says in the Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent is going to bite the heel of the church.
Woman, yeah.
And today, some the religion is so asleep that they let the devil bite in the heel and the poison has entered the body of Christ.
Hmm.
Okay? And so, since they cannot kill the body of Christ because there is Christ, all right? So, what is it? Well, it puts them to sleep. So, this religion is asleep. And one of the fruits of sleepiness is that the false doctrines come in. Hmm. So, no. Works are nothing to do with salvation. They have everything to do with blessings. Okay, Revelation 3:11. Be careful, you might lose your crown.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 22:12. I come shortly, my rewards are with me to give everyone according to?
To his works.
Their works.
Yes.
It doesn't say grace.
Amen.
Nowhere it's about grace.
And how can I have works, Brother Joseph?
If you look in the Gospels, everywhere Jesus is talking about works. He's talking about works all the time because works show somebody's saved. You understand?
And how can I have works? Make sure that I make them.
Well, it starts firstly the Bible. See where the works are. The works in Christ.
Yes.
Second, you have to desire to do these works.
And let's say if somebody desires and wants to do them. How can he make sure that he does it every day? The works of Christ.
Well, you just have to get on your knees, get the power. First of all, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. First of all,
the Holy Spirit.
Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're good for nothing.
So the Holy Spirit gives you the power.
You are just half dead. You have salvation, but that's it. But you don't have the strength to evangelize. You are ashamed to evangelize. You don't have the power to stand up against the devil. You don't know how to lay hands on somebody sick, get him healed. Basically, you're good for almost for nothing.
So you
you can just
power.
Go to a church or warm up a bench. That's it. But to be able to do God's will, to be able to keep the commandments, you need to have fellowship with Jesus, and it starts with the baptisms of the Spirit. That's something, like
Amen.
It says, how do you receive the baptisms? Like last night, these Mormons, they were asking me, okay, how do we receive the Holy Spirit?
Wow.
Because they don't have. I said, well, there are two ways. One, you can ask God directly. The second, you can ask me to lay hands on you. I have the Holy Spirit, you can receive it from me.
Hmm.
Or you can go to God directly. What does it say that? I gave you the scripture, Luke 11, 9 and 10, and 13.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about if you ask God, he will give you the Holy Spirit.
It's just asking because many religions have different ways of receiving the Holy Spirit.
Okay, but that's religion.
So it's just asking.
But that's religion. See, religion is trusting in man. You have to trust in a religious guy. Okay, my religion is only Jesus. I'm religion by religion of Jesus, nothing else.
Amen.
Okay, my job is just to point people to Jesus. But a pastor that points people to his religion is a false pastor. True pastor will point the people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
What is the direct counsel you give to this dear sister who says, I just want to be forgiven and live my life for God? What do you think are the steps she should take?
Well, receive the Holy Spirit. Start a relationship with Jesus, speak to Jesus, feel his love, feel his presence, okay, and then you feel forgiven. She doesn't feel forgiven because she has more relationship with the religion that she had. She has more fellowship with the seeds, evil seeds of religion in her heart, seeds of works, than with the grace of Jesus.
Well, she seems very willing to forsake that, and she just wants God and the Bible. So in this case, she has to pray for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Can we pray together?
Okay.
Can we pray together for her and anybody else who is in this situation that needs forgiveness from Jesus?
All right.
I want to tell you, dear brethren, don't follow your feelings. Believe the Word of God. What the Word says is the truth. And believe and live only that.
You know, I wanted actually to mention that a few mornings ago, I woke up feeling terribly. I woke up actually feeling like not saved almost. And then immediately I know the teachings that Brother Joseph has been giving me, saying, don't go by your feelings, but go by the Word. And then even though I felt horrible, I knew I am saved because the Bible says so.
Amen.
So forget my feelings. And in 5 minutes I got a victory because of the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Man, look, I have a scripture for this, dear sister. Scripture for you is Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Want to read it? And
yes.
Then we can pray for the Holy Spirit, okay?
Okay.
Colossians 3, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth.
Read verse 10 also.
Verse 10. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
So what this sister needs is to realize that she needs to live in the new man.
Wow, amen.
She has a new person inside, a spiritual person. That's exactly what will go to heaven when she dies, when the flesh dies. So she needs to start thinking with the mind of the spirit.
Amen.
She needs to start clicking, fellowshipping more with Jesus. Talk to Jesus, listen to Jesus, love Jesus, walk with Jesus, spend time alone with Jesus. You cannot go to God directly. You have to go through Jesus. There's some people who pray directly to God. Well, you can do that sometime, but be careful because you cannot say, I don't need Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no connection with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're not worthy to approach God without Jesus.
Yeah.
If you see in the New Testament, they were always praying through Jesus in the New Testament. You see people on TV today, I watch Christian, they just pray to God, they end up with God. Sorry, that's the wrong prayer. You just cannot do that. Because we are not worthy to approach God. Jesus makes us worthy by his blood, by
Amen.
His spirit.
Amen.
And people approach God directly. Well, the Jews, the Pharisees, the Muslims, they approach God directly. They never get it very far.
Hmm.
In fact, the Jews are still stuck under Moses. Their intercessor, mediator, is Moses.
Hmm.
You don't make
That's
it.
True.
In fact, sure enough, look at all the mistakes that the Jews have made with the Muslims. In Israel and Palestine, they mistreated the Palestinians so badly that very often the Jews are on their own side. If they would have approached the Palestinians with love, I don't mean mix them up like they could do in Europe. Let them vote this and that. No. But with love.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to vote, no. But they don't need to vote in Israel. They can vote in Palestine, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Palestine.
Yeah.
So you understand, so basically we need Jesus. This girl needs Jesus to go through Jesus to get to God, and then she will get to God. That applies to all of us.
Man.
If we try to go to God directly, it's like you work in an office and you have a supervisor that you depend on him, but you go around him and you go to the top director of the office. Can I come in? Because you don't want to go through your supervisor. Your direct supervisor don't let you get away with this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to go to the big boss. So if you can put a rubber stamp, you can just make fun of your supervisor. Well, our supervisor is Jesus Christ. This sister needs to learn the same thing I've learned and I am learning, relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
You can
Amen.
Never learn too much.
Yes, amen.
Okay, you're not supposed to love your wife too much, your husband too much. But Jesus, you can never love him too much.
Amen.
Okay, and every time you love Jesus, it means God. Every time you love the Son, that means the Father. They are not jealous of each other. Don't worry. They're the same person. Why is the same Spirit? When you worship the Spirit of Christ, it is God the Father you're worshiping. Because he's the same bridegroom. God the Father, in the Old Testament, is called the husband of Israel. He's the same like Jesus, the husband of the church. Do you understand?
Amen.
So
Amen.
That's what she needs.
Yes.
So she has the right desire. This sister, now she needs to find the right way how to do it. She needs grace. She needs communion with Jesus. She needs to work for Jesus. Okay, she needs to get busy following the commandment of Jesus.
Thank you.
Not because they save us. They don't. But because if we don't follow the commandments of Jesus, that breaks the fellowship. You know, it's important that we follow the word. We cannot have fellowship with Jesus and not following the commandment with Jesus. That's why the churches are full of people.
What do you mean commandment of Jesus?
The churches are full of people who have no relationship with Jesus because they don't follow his commandment. They received the salvation and went to sleep. Now we have to follow his commandments. And that will give us relationship with Jesus. You understand?
Man, so what is the commandment to follow? You're talking about Moses again? Or
no,
what?
The commandments of Jesus.
And what is that?
Well, just read the Gospels. Love your brother, love God, forgive, go preach the gospel, reach the lost. My measuring stick, my thermometer is preaching the gospel. Because it's easy to go sit down on a church bench and sing songs on Sunday morning,
yeah.
Give some money to the pastor I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be raptured before tribulation. Goodbye, Antichrist. Those guys will have a surprise. Those guys, they don't know. They never understood the Matthew 24:29, what the rapture is. So what we need here, we need to have a relationship with Jesus. We need to start. Look, I'll give you a scripture. John 14:23.
Yes.
Send it. Give it to this sweet sister. That's what she needs.
John 14:23.
That will give her fellowship with Jesus as soon as she starts obeying this.
Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him."
21.
"He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him."
Understand?
But didn't you just say that the Mormons are a religion of works, and that's not what brings you close to Jesus? But
okay,
here you're
okay.
Talking about works.
I better clarify.
You're
this.
Saying keep the commandments, and he who doesn't is not loving.
He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about fellowship.
All right, but the sister has a problem feeling forgiven. How can she feel forgiven, released?
Because she doesn't feel forgiven. She feels condemned because she has fellowship with the law, with religion, and not with the Spirit of Christ of grace. But here's the thing. Once you receive salvation, once you receive Jesus, once you are saved, you will want to keep the commandments of Christ.
But as a consequence,
and it really takes a lot of false religion to get people, to get the saved Christian away from obeying Christ. It takes every Sunday brainwashing. Because if you just stop going to some religions and you just spend time with Jesus, automatically you'll want to obey. You read the gospel and you obey as much as you can.
That's going to be a consequence. That's going to come later. Like it says, the good tree produces good fruit.
Yeah.
But the first step is?
There are two steps. One is receiving Jesus. The second is receive the Holy Spirit. And then after that, work on your relationship with Jesus. I would say three steps.
Okay, now I understand everything.
See, relationship with Jesus is a work that you do. In the spirit. You are a wife, you're married, you can decide to be a good wife or a bad wife. You can decide to have children, get pregnant, or to take a pill and be sterile. You can decide to be a church like Laodicea, dead, the sterile, or a church like Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, a good church who produces spiritual babies for God.
Mm-hmm.
How? By evangelizing, by preaching the gospel. So just like any wife or husband can decide to be a bad spouse or a good one, an adulterous spouse or a faithful one, so the church can decide. I'm talking about the saved church, the church who is saved. It can decide to be adulterous Christians or faithful Christians. Can decide to be virgin with oil or virgin without oil.
Mm-hmm.
Can decide to follow Jesus, okay, or not to follow Jesus. Receiving Jesus, okay. We are all saved. We have Jesus. We have salvation. But after receiving Jesus, we can decide to follow the world.
Yeah.
You follow?
So you have to put aside your will and obey the will of Jesus.
Yes. And then living grace. When you obey, grace comes to you. We read it in John 14:21-23. You love God, okay? You keep his commandments. God comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
You are saved and disobey the commandments. You lose the anointing. Like Samson, book of Judges, he lost the anointing. Saul, the first Samuel, King Saul, he lost the anointing, and he got a bad spirit. Why? He disobeyed. But the moment he obeyed, look at David. He committed adultery. He went to bed with Bathsheba, who was somebody else's wife, and then to patch things up, he killed her husband. But because his heart was right, whenever he was confronted. Okay, that was in 2 Samuel chapter 10, 11 over there. When he was confronted by Nathan, he repented, he changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a demonstration you don't lose salvation.
Amen. Yes.
I think the Old Testament for adultery, he got stoned.
Yeah.
Both by Bathsheba and him, that they were supposed to be stoned.
It was a law.
No, God forgave. Why? Because it was a true repentance.
It's true, yes.
So if you truly repent, you're always forgiven. That's the problem with some religious people. They never repent. But one problem is they're going to the wrong church. We're feeding them the false doctrine. We're putting the wrong seeds in them. And they go to bed at night condemned. They wake up in the morning, they're condemned because of the seeds.
Because they never make it to keep up all the good works.
Works religion. They say you have to keep the commandments of this. The commandments, otherwise you're not saved. in reality, the truth is, you are saved by keeping the commandments, you'll be blessed. Not keeping the commandments, you are not blessed. Salvation has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
So the situation with the sister, that she's saved, but she's not keeping the commandments. Number one commandment is, you shall love the Lord, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, relationship. Instead, she's trying to love a religion. She's trying to love the commandments of Christ. But you're not supposed to make a God out of the commandments above Christ. The Pharisees were making an idol out of the religion and the commandments above God. And that also is idolatry. Commandments, obeying the commandment, comes after loving God.
We don't know if she still loves the religion. That we cannot tell.
Yeah, we don't know if she loves the religions or not. But by evidence, we can see that she unhappy, condemned, frustrated, discouraged, hopeless. Why? Because apparently the seeds that this religion, the Mormons, have been sowing into her, it could be Pentecostals. They also believe in works.
Mm-hmm.
Because today, Pentecostals, they preach about salvation. So even though the doctrine is could be a little bit better than the Mormons, maybe, but they're also off the track. Because they preach, you can lose salvation. So, no, she doesn't love religion. In fact, I don't think she does, because she got out of it. But the seeds are there. She needs to break the curse. She needs to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke every false doctrine I received. From now on, I'm going to forget about the religions I used to be in.
Amen.
From now on, I'm going to love Jesus. And from now on, I'm going to read the Bible. And I'm going to read the gospel. And I want to obey the commandments of Jesus. And that is going to bring her into fellowship with Jesus, not into salvation. Attention. See, because obeying the commandments of Christ is so important, so people put value on that which is not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Easy to deceive people. If you don't obey Jesus, you cannot be saved. Well, the number one teaching is you need to receive Christ as your Savior. If you don't do that, you cannot be saved. But then they add a whole train, a bunch of carriages behind. You have to keep this and this and this and this and this. So different religions have different mortal sins. Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only one mortal sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit, which is Christ, which is salvation. Everything else, once you have Christ, it keeps you saved. You can be an adulterer like David and kill Uriah, I hope you don't, and still be saved because you have Jesus.
Yeah, there's something very deep you said earlier, that as long as you try with all your heart, and then if you do something very bad like David did, you repent and you keep trying with all your heart, that's the answer.
Yeah, but even if you don't try, theoretically, when you have salvation, you have salvation.
I'm talking about now about the relationship with Jesus.
I have six children. Sometimes there is one who doesn't even try. In fact, he fights against me. Like sometimes we fight against God, no? That doesn't mean he's not my son anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He might get strong corrections one of these days, maybe directly from God. We might get corrected if we, fight against God. We can make that mistake mistakenly or being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but God does not disown us the moment we have Jesus Christ. Not because we are worthy, but because Christ is worthy in us, and Christ is in us, and he makes us worthy. Like it says, we became the righteousness of God. If we don't keep the commandment because we deliberately, willfully want to disobey because we are lazy, instead of preaching the gospel, we want to go make money, instead of reaching the lost, we want to go get a new car, a new house, instead of giving salvation to the lost, we go to a church, sit down and sing songs, we're going to lose our crown. We're going to disobey. Because the commandment says, go preach the gospel to the lost. Okay, and this guy, some of these preachers are preaching every Sunday. So because they're tired of preaching, they don't know what to preach anymore, they're going to start, they're starting changing doctrines right and left. We need to preach less, obey more.
Amen.
We need less pulpit,
amen,
less preachers, and more street walkers, more people who go in the streets, reaching the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the lost, like Jesus did.
Thank you, Lord.
Imagine Jesus didn't go to a church or a synagogue every Sunday or every Saturday, preaching to people half asleep. He would go there and say, hey, let the dead raise. And they kicked him out of every synagogue he went.
Yes, it's clear about salvation that it's the Lord that keeps you saved. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, also because when you go witnessing, when you go evangelizing, if you think you can lose salvation, I tell you, you don't even know if you're saved anymore. because you lost salvation. I didn't know if you got it back. So that's why the religious people don't evangelize. They're not to evangelize. They've been beaten by the poisoning of the devil. They believe they can lose salvation. And a lot of them, they don't even know they have it anymore. So there is no, what can they preach? It's a miracle they even say they are Christians. Because once you lose salvation, you're not Christians anymore. Look, when do you go to 1 John 2? Go ahead, you can tell it.
Yes, which verse?
1 and 2.
1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world.
Okay, so understand what he says here. If anyone sins, you know, there are churches who preach you cannot sin anymore. You know, because it's
well,
amazing.
He's encouraging you not to sin. He says, I encourage you not to sin. But then, if somebody sins, we have an advocate.
It's out of the question that we not encourage people to sin. The point is not encouraging people to sin. That I don't see any Christian. I don't know any Christians in this world that would be so crazy to go around and say, hey, can you, let's sin. I never met somebody so...
No, but they say that somebody who believes you cannot lose salvation, that person encourages sin.
Well, but then you have to blame God because he put so many scriptures about you cannot lose salvation.
He did.
Look, as you go to Romans 8:35-39, it says nobody can separate us. Nobody and nothing, no death, no life can separate us. No any creature can separate us from the love of Christ.
Amen.
From the love of God through Christ. Look, in 1 John 2:1-2, You said that if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, who is the advocate, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Himself is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, it's a word, a Greek word, it's atonement, okay?
Yeah.
Atonement means a payment. So what he's saying here, Jesus Christ himself is the one who pays for our sins. It doesn't even say he paid on the cross.
But he did.
Yes, he did, but it doesn't say he paid. He's saying... He pays.
Is the
it's a present tense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't say he was the payment. He was the propitiation. It's okay, it's in the past, and now you lost it. No. It doesn't say that he paid for our sins before. It says he's paying now. In other words, when you sin now, he pays for your sins now. Why? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus knows that you are saved. Once you become saved, Jesus knows you are saved. And if Jesus knows you are saved, he will pay for your present sins. Because Jesus knows that you will repent. Jesus knows that his Holy Spirit in you will bring you to repentance.
Amen.
It's like you have a father, okay? A father, God, good father. Okay, parallel, you have a father here in this world. Okay, a good father. So, it's like if you get a fine, you're underage, okay? He pays for your fine.
Yes,
and then in the house, he may explain to you something. And then the next day, you get another fine. It's okay. He will explain more to you, but he will pay. He doesn't say, what? What, you parked the car again in the wrong place? What? You went above the speed limit? What did you do? I'm not going to pay for the fine. Go to jail and never get out. It's not going to say that. Your father is going to say, you know what? You just can say goodbye to the car for a day or two, a week or two, a month or two.
That's what he spanks you.
You know, he's spanking, of course.
But so, he pays.
So, exactly. So it's like if you do something wrong, okay, he will correct you, okay, right? But he will not separate you. He will not send you away.
Amen.
He's the propitiation. It was not the propitiation. Of course he was. But it doesn't say just he was. He's saying here he is.
So he was
present.
And is.
Of course.
Amen.
Because it was not just a propitiation. He is and he will be. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, I think.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So apply to this, okay? Jesus Christ himself, he was the propitiation yesterday. He is the propitiation today, and he will be the propitiation tomorrow.
Amen.
Are we clear on this?
Yes,
so don't let the false prophets come to you and say, oh, if you don't come to our church, P.S., bring some money to the tithe. Ah, by the way, you lose salvation. Okay?
Amen.
No.
Thank you, Lord, for your love.
Get out of the Philadelphia, get out of Laodicea. Philadelphia, are you listening to me? Get out of Laodicea and follow me, says the Lord.
Amen.
I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your church. You know, Jesus is our church. Jesus is our building. You know, Jesus is our body. He is our real church. Our real church is not some building with a cross on top with the outside 10 to 11. Come and sing. Padded chair, air conditioning, biscuits for free by the door. Don't forget your tithe. Well, it's becoming like a shop at the church, some churches. Thank God for the true churches who go around, evangelize the lost. True pastors who don't just pocket the money for their new car, but who share the money with the poor in the church. The people in the church who cannot pay the rent. Those widows with children without a husband. Today, there's so many mercenaries. Because, you bring the money to God's pocket. This is it. It's in my pocket. And God will bless you. Give me your money, God will bless you. Yes, these mercenaries, boy. You know, that's all the blessing they're going to get, these guys. And you go to heaven, it's a stick. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Any more questions?
That's
it. So, we praise the Lord then.
Amen.
We want to pray for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay, I am famous for sometimes praying very short prayer and sometimes for praying very long prayers. So I'm famous for both.
Because I believe the Lord is leading you.
So, Lord Jesus, we pray for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
If you are listening and you want the Holy Spirit, you don't need me, you don't need our radio, you just need Jesus. But since you happen to be here, I guess we'll join you.
Amen.
If you join with us.
Amen.
By the way, if you are sick, the Lord will heal you also from any sickness. Cancer, prostate, problem with the lungs, whatever, you bold, pray, believe in any miracles. You receive according to your faith.
Amen.
Amen. But if you're smarter, don't go with your faith. Go with the faith of Jesus. Galatians 2:20. We go by the faith of Christ. And that's greater faith. So, Lord, in Jesus' name,
Thank you, any brother or sister listening here who are not baptized
in the Holy Spirit, I pray right now.
Thank you.
Can I lay hands on you?
Amen.
Can you represent it?
Yes.
Dear sweet brethren, I'm laying hands on you. Receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Open your heart.
Jesus.
Receive the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Be healed of every sickness. Receive the Holy Spirit, and I rebuke any spirits of the devil bothering you, attacking you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you'll be filled only with the Holy Spirit. Nothing else but the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, be filled.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Amen.
Be fully Jesus. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength.
Amen.
Lord and Jesus, me too. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
Be blessed and receive the Holy Spirit.
Thank
receive
you.
The Holy Spirit. I rebuke you, Satan. Get out, you bunch of devils. Get out of here. This is God's property.
Amen.
Anyone listening right now who say yes in their heart for the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. Your demons, go to your hell. Get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. I consider this to be a short prayer.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. God bless you for this nice prayer for all the dear listeners who are listening. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
Amen. It was a pleasure. Lord, help us. And Lord, bless you, dear brethren, who are following.
Thank you, Lord.
I hope you feel better, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I love you. Amen.
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 And Lord, help us all to really give our full heart to Jesus and live daily, fully for Him. In
Amen.
Jesus' name. We love you, brethren. Please write in and stay close to Jesus and stay close to us if you like. Thank you for being with us today on Radio Blast. Thank you, Dora, for your help.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God bless you, Brother Joseph, for all the message.
Thank you to you, and God bless you too.